Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
Bringing a data center online takes more than equipment. It takes precision. Graybar helps customers predict, stage, schedule, deliver, and verify every step of the build with critical products that are available now. From networking and wireless to critical power and testing tools, our teams help you reduce downtime risk and keep projects on track. Speed. Scale. Ready now. Yep. Graybar does that.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Wow. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Welcome on into the Steakhouse here on a Thursday morning. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro once more this week. Today, alongside Rusty Manziel. And I do want to remind you, it is just a Thursday. Feels like a Friday, though, Rusty. Obviously, yeah. With you being in, the holiday coming, it just feels like a Friday. We're going to try and give off some weekend vibes today on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Been a while. I think it's been 3 weeks I've been back in studios. Been a minute. Been listening to everybody on the Odyssey app. I know Steak's up in Boston. I know Sandra, I think, is heading to Savannah. I ain't heard anything out of Drew. Drew, you need to check in, see where my man is. I know he's playing golf somewhere. But I've been to Naples. I've been to Fort Lauderdale. Had two into the summer kind of national camps. I don't do a ton of travel anymore outside of the state. But last week was down in Fort Lauderdale. I talked to you guys on Monday.
Yeah, after the episodes of that travel, you might cut back.
You know what, man? It tells you how big the Atlanta airport. It took like 4 days to catch those flights up, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think Sandra was telling me Monday was just brutal.
Dude, Monday, they said the line was out into the drop-off area, which is crazy. I've never seen that.
And I'm heading to the airport tomorrow after the Peachtree, and I'm just assuming like the morning of July 4th, early afternoon of July 4th, it won't be that bad.
I think you should be okay.
It won't be that bad is my guess.
I bet you Sunday.
I'm coming back Sunday.
Oh, boy.
But I'm coming back
in.
Is easy.
Yeah, coming back in. Yeah, you're coming back.
Because I'm coming back from Albuquerque. They can't possibly be overworked, overloaded there.
I wouldn't think so.
In the ABQ. So
I wouldn't think so.
There you go. We got a lot to get into, Rusty. Obviously, we'll talk about the Braves a little bit here when we dive into the 9-9 in a moment, but certainly a lot more when we get there at 9:20. Our next segment will be a lot of Atlanta Braves. 9:40, I'm just going to, for the tailgate, just pepper you with what's going on with the Georgia Bulldogs. You mentioned that you haven't been here in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They've got like a whole roster since you have been here.
That would be probably 12 commits.
I was going to say, it's a 12. Starting 11 later.
Yeah.
We've certainly got a special edition of Rusty Rocks in our second hour.
Yep.
And got all sorts of other stuff going on, so... It should be a fun show. Again, it just feels like a Friday.
It does.
And
I got two quick announcements I don't want to break in on
you
here. My daughter, Molly, is her 23rd birthday. You know, God has blessed me with four girls. He has a sense of humor. But he also threw in a 5'11 model, and that's my Molly. And today is her birthday, so I don't know if she's getting to listen, but I want to tell you, love you and proud of you. And I want to give one quick shout out from Rome, Georgia, my guy Russ Head, who was leading the main tournament last night, the World Series of Poker in Vegas. Woke up this morning to check it, and he's fifth this morning. So my guy Russ, who plays professional poker, is, and he's been out there for about a month playing all the tournaments. But he was at one point yesterday the chip leader. And
is this the main event they're running? Know if they're in the money yet?
No. This
it depends
be,
what day
be,
it is.
This will be day two. So day
oh,
two.
He's just day one chip leader.
Day
or close to
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's pretty sick. Obviously, they'll.
12 million fans, by the way.
They'll play a bunch. Do they still wait till November to do the final table?
No, they do not do that.
Good.
No.
That was so stupid.
That was crazy.
That was so
money
stupid.
Like Moneymaker and them. No, now they get it. Now they do it live. So if you.
Well, Moneymaker, they did it. They did it regularly.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah.
Like 2 or 3 years ago, they're like, final table, the November 9.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll like, put, and like Texas, Oklahoma was playing that day.
But it was like 4 months, yeah. 3 months after. It, yeah. No, we can't be doing that. That.
Nope. So. Shout out, Russ. Good luck, man.
All right, we got a lot to get into, both at Truist Park and away from, so let's go ahead and get into it, the 9 at 9. All right, Rusty, again, we'll spend some more time on this in our next segment, but the Angels fall. Atlanta Braves take care of business last night, 8-3, they take game two of that series. For a while, looked a little dicey, but the bats got going in the sixth inning, Sean Murphy, Matt Olson. And the Braves grab one on the night that Jurickson Profar returns.
You know, really a rare inning, which is hard to say. I mean, they're down 2-0. You're like, man, here we go again. We're going to lose 2-1. They explode for the big inning. I think, listen to the talk all week. Were they going to boo Profar or not? And Bo enlightened me this morning. Bo, how'd they handle that?
Can I get C? That's going to be neither on the board. So I don't know. I assume this is done on purpose.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very smart strategy by Braves.
Yep.
There was a mound visit, which I don't know if there has anything to do with the fact that Jurickson Profar comes up unannounced, video on the video board or picture in stats, but there is no now coming to bat, which is what people would use as a key to either boo or cheer.
Yes.
So it was kind of just, you know.
You know what reminds me of? That Friday afternoon news dump. You know when, like, LSU's got 10 sanctions, and about 6 o'clock on a Friday they drop the self-imposed penalties? Bam! That's why. Nobody see that. Nobody talk about it, but here you go. That's kind of what they did last night with Profar.
Well, he came up, bases loaded in the first situation. Didn't quite get it done. That's all right. The other thing that I laugh at, and, Bo, I know you've heard this like, talking point before. Like, when you're having a rally, you don't want a home run to clear the bases because you want to keep the pressure on. I think last night was like, all right, you had a home run to clear the bases, and you just loaded them back up.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I don't want to hear any of that nonsense. I'm like, no. Just keep pounding out doubles, man. You just keep the pressure on. You never want to hit a home run and let them restart. No, man, I'll take what we can get. Ronald Acuna Jr., the good, last night named a starting outfielder for the National League All-Star team, and Spencer Schwellenbach to the 15-day IL with a fractured right elbow. We'll touch more on that in our next segment. But continuing the 9 at 9, you were popped on off air earlier this morning and said, hey, you know who's pretty good right now in this city is the Atlanta Dream. They play the Seattle Storm tonight at 7:15 in College Park. I've been watching a lot of their games.
Yeah, man.
I never saw an updated injury for Ryan Howard. That's obviously a little concerning. Alicia Gray, while we're talking about starting all-star spots, Alicia Gray starting all-star for the WNBA.
Where's that game at, all-star game?
It's going to be in Indiana.
I'll be dang.
It's going to be in Indiana. I don't know when they plan that and how separate that is of the Caitlin Clark thing, but Caitlin Clark is going to be one of the captains. But it is going to be in Indiana, so there's that. But the Dream play tonight, they are fourth now. And remember, the WNBA is just one group. There is no conference, Eastern, Western. They are fourth overall. I think it's 10-5. I could be wrong.
They
on
are
that.
11-6.
11-6.
7-2 at home.
Yeah, they've been very good at home.
Yep.
They could be even better. They had a real opportunity to beat the Minnesota Lynx over the weekend. They lost that one in overtime, but responded, beating the New York Liberty. So they are right there, the Atlanta Dream, but the injury to Ryan Howard certainly is concerning. Atlanta United, a lot of people have been calling for change there with the Five Stripes. They added 26-year-old Albanian center back Ania Mihai. He's not available to play until the week of July 24th. That's when the transfer window officially opens, but he's going to be into the discussion. Arena Sabalenka, who a lot of people now hate, after her comments regarding Coco Gauff. A little misunderstanding there. Mm-hmm. Those two are actually seem to be friends. They've been getting along. But Aryna Sabalenka, the only top five seeded women still alive in the Wimbledon draw. Coco Gauff got eliminated round one. Jessica Pegula got eliminated round one. Jasmine Paolini, the short Italian, she got eliminated yesterday in round two. So of the top five seeds in the women's draw, four of them are gone.
TV nightmare. Now listen, average fan.
No, I think it's a good call.
TV nightmare for them.
Iga Swiatek, I think, is like seeded seventh or eighth, so she still has a little bit of pull there. But yeah, I think you're right. And then obviously in the men's draw, some interesting. We were just watching Novak Djokovic look like he's going to roll to a first set win. Yeah. Taylor Fritz is still alive. Chris Eubanks had a really tough loss. Ben Shelton, I think, plays later today. I'll tell you what, Ben Shelton's really fascinating to me. Mm. That's a guy where if he gets it mentally and matures a little bit, I think he can be he is really good. He's a top 10 seed.
Who's the best American male right now?
So TFO, I think, just lost. I mean, it's Fritz, TFO, and Ben Shelton. I think Shelton probably has the highest ceiling. I don't think TFO's got much more in him than what he is now. Shelton is the one that's interesting to me.
Did we peak with Agassi, Michael Chang, all that crew in the late 80s, early 90s?
It's so difficult because if you go back, like Donald Young is a guy that not a lot of people are aware of.
Yep.
This is a guy that if you're a tennis head, that he was the next guy, and he played a little bit and kind of flamed and fizzled out.
Mm. I'm a Wimbledon guy. I tune in once a year.
Yeah, I watch all these things.
I know you do. I'm saying as an average sports fan, other than football,
I think Ben Shelton can win a major.
Okay.
I think Ben Shelton can win a major. Obviously, yeah. We had Roddick. You know, you got to remember, at the time, you had like Roddick, James Blake, Jack Sock came in a little bit.
Yep.
And even Isner was very good for a while. But
6'7".
Yeah. They've obviously had much more success on the women's side and continue to have that again. Pegula and Gauff, 2-seed, 3-seed, knocked out. U.S. men's national team, they beat Guatemala last night in the Gold Cup semis. Diego Luna of the MLS, 2 goals. They're going to face Mexico, and that's always a big one. Gold Cup final on Sunday against Mexico. The Knicks announced that Mike Brown's going to be their new head coach, or they're expected to announce that. 2-time NBA coach of the year, 4-time champion as an assistant coach. And how about this last night with the final pitch of his outing? Clayton Kershaw becomes the 20th member of the 3,000 strikeout club, fourth lefty in Major League Baseball history to do it, and some say maybe the last guy.
What high school did Clayton Kershaw attend, and what position did he play in high school football?
Tight end. I don't know.
Clayton Kershaw attended Highland Park High School, and he was Matt Stafford's center.
He was a center. I knew he was teammates with Staffy. I didn't know what position.
How about that?
Was he a left-handed center?
Had to be.
Right?
Think about that. Those two.
Drew Dalman
in Highland Park, and then now back in L.A. together like that. Wild.
Yeah. All right. Hour number one, the Steakhouse, brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. When we get back, we'll hear from Brian Snicker. We'll hear about the addition of Jurickson Profar. And we're also going to hear this power surge by Sean Murphy has won you a couple games now. We'll certainly talk about that.
Need more.
Yeah, a lot more. And maybe from more than just one guy. So we'll break down the Atlanta Braves, their win over the Angels, and what's to come with Schwellenbach sideline now. All that next. It's Rusty Manziel, Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro on the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and as always on the Odyssey app. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Steakhouse, on a Thursday heading into a July 4th weekend. It's Abe Gordon, Rusty Manziel, hanging out with us for the first time in a couple of weeks. A lot of Georgia discussion coming your way in our next segment, of course, the tailgate. But they're just going to get caught up because it's honestly been incredibly difficult to keep track. I pretty much just copy and paste and just be like, Georgia adds 4-star and then insert name and position. It's been that simple. But now they started working in four stars for 2027 as well. And that's been more problematic.
I heard Randy comment. I kind of chuckled, you know, because someone, I think y'all were talking on the show, and it's like, hey, they added this guy, they added this guy. And you were like, oh, yeah, they added 2027. Yeah, Randy goes, that guy won't be there. I mean,
yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
You know, Randy keeps it real. But yeah, man, I've been covering Georgia now as an employee for 16 years. I've been following recruiting since the late 80s. I will say that I've never seen a run like this. It is a different day and time. You know what I mean? The calendar's different. But this many players, this many consecutive days, and the amount of days they got those players in, and how highly ranked those kids are, it's been crazy. It kind of started, to be honest with you, it started with Justice Fitzpatrick, Minka Fitzpatrick's little brother. When he committed to Georgia over Ohio State, the run really started right there, and it's been on. And they got another decision tomorrow, and then on the 12th, they got a five-star kid making decisions. So Georgia, as I like to say, as my buddies like to say when I'm over a three-foot putt, Rusty, there's a lot of meat left on that bone. There's a lot of meat left in this class for Georgia.
Yeah, they're swimming in it.
Florida and Alabama's on a run too.
Yeah.
Now. Alabama's on a damn run right now too.
We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes when we get to the tailgate this hour. The Steakhouse brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company. And let's get to some Braves, because there's a lot to tackle here for a couple of different reasons, some good, some bad. We'll discuss it. Let's start just with the game last night here, Rusty. The Braves beat the Angels 8-3. It's a huge sixth inning. And it started with Sean Murphy as he kind of gave the Braves a lead in the sixth.
Murphy, left center field. Will it go? Yes, sir! Just like that, the Braves have the lead. And for Murphy, his third homer in his last three games.
First pitch cutter, Sean Murphy ready for it. We'll call it a hot chicken homer, Birdie. We'll see you eating that sandwich tomorrow again. An absolute bomb here right on time for Sean Murphy.
When he pulls a ball, Bo, when he turns on one, you talking about jumping off the bat? I mean, it's always a no-doubter. Like, he doesn't barely make – he either hits one 375 feet foul or he crushes it. Like, he pipes it when he turns on one.
Young guys at home, if you want to see an illustration of what it means when we say your power comes from your hips,
Oh, yeah. Bro,
it's Sean Murphy. Yeah. When he uncorks one, they do not land.
The other thing that I've always been impressed by, and he may get under a pitch and pop it up, he very rarely puts one off the end of the bat where it just – we've all seen it where you're like, man, because off the bat you can only kind of tell launch angle and a little bit of velocity, and you're like, this one's gone. And it's like, oh, it's kind of shallow. It's probably off the end of the bat. Didn't really crank it off the barrel. He doesn't miss the barrel very often. So when he gets the right launch angle off of those things, they do fly out of
there. Does it seem like to me he's got a heavy bat? Like, I guarantee he swings like a 35-ounce.
Right.
Like, it's a damn piece of lumber. That dude is swinging a damn piece of lumber.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you.
It jumps when it hits the right spot on that thing. Yeah. Before the grand slam that would follow for Matt Olson, Sean Murphy had provided the last eight Braves RBIs. And like you heard the call, he had three home runs in the last three starts, and he had a couple big ones earlier. He's kind of single-handedly, it's tough to say anyone's keeping the Braves afloat. They're seven games below 500. But Brian Snicker talked about it. Like, what Sean Murphy's done this power surge has been huge recently.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. The bats have been better. Even the foul balls have been just, you know, he's staying tall and getting off good swings. And, you know, he's done a lot of damage here lately. So, you know, I'm going to run him back out there tomorrow. I mean, he's it's been good to see, because we saw it. And you know, the year he made the All-Star team. And then, you know, I think with some injuries, and now he's, you know, come back and he's healthy and you know, it's really good, because, you know, big, strong guy like that, man, it's, you know, what, he's hit a grand slam and a three-run homer in his last three games, I think. So that's something that we've been lacking.
The other thing here is you really do need it, because Drake Baldwin's come back down to earth a little bit. And I know there was a lot of hype about, like, get Murphy out of the lineup. We need Drake Baldwin. And I understand why people were like that. I wasn't like that, because rookies are going to rookie. This is what happens.
I was.
What?
I was like, play him.
No, no.
I agree. I was wrong.
While he was hot, I understand you wanting to get his bat in the lineup. But I also understand, hey, we're not going to trade Sean Murphy for a bucket of balls just to put Drake Baldwin in there with no backup, with no plan B as a rookie. We've seen guys come up, get hot. The league adjusts. The league has adjusted.
No question.
And by the way, nothing against Drake Baldwin either. I still think he's taking.
Now he has to adjust. But pitchers are facing him.
The good news for Drake Baldwin, even though he's been struggling, is that I don't think they're bad at bats. I think he's got the right approach. I think the numbers have averaged back out, and that's going to happen. And now he can improve and get better. But I think you see why there was hesitation from at least those inside the organization to be like, yeah, man, we're done with Murph. Baldwin's the guy. No, this guy's too good. Too good. His upper end, when he gets hot, is too important. And obviously the defensive capabilities as well. So that was one big story yesterday in the win. Matt Olson would then follow that up with a grand slam.
He is back to where he's supposed to be.
The thing for Olson is it's just tough to know when it's coming or going because I'm completely fine with Matt Olson. I have learned to live and accept with the fact that he's just going to be streaky and he's going to be as good as anyone in the league.
Is he a 245 hitter with power?
Over the course of the year?
Yeah, 250.
But there's also, I mean, he's on a 30-game stretch right now where he's hitting like 320.
Yep.
And then he'll go on a 20-game stretch where he's hitting like a .110.
I listen to the morning shift, and they kind of, I think Mike talked about this. Matt Olson is compared to Freddie Freeman, okay? And that's not a fair comparison right now because that he is the guy at first base. But we are getting production out of Matt Olson. And he's a hell of a defensive
player. You have to ride the lows.
Yes.
Because we have seen the highs do come with Matt Olson. And quite frankly, timing is going to matter because you need those highs to be coming in October. I don't know if they will this year, but in general. The other story yesterday was the return of Jurickson Profar. I know you guys talked about a little bit his introduction. He gets up there with the bases loaded and everyone's sitting there. Oh man,
we need
like
this,
what a return, right?
You know he was thinking, Lord, please be with me right
he
now.
He was down 0-2 immediately. Immediately he hits a foul ball, then he strikes out on the next pitch, and we're like, here is the new guy, same as the old guy. Welcome back. And there were before the sixth inning, there were issues with the Braves with runners in scoring position and leaving guys on base, all that. But ultimately, Jurickson Profar did get two hits, including a late inning homer.
Profar down the right field line. It's a fair ball, and it's a solo homer. And his first game here at Truist Park wearing that uniform. An absolute bomb here for Profar, and he knew it. As soon as he hit it, how good did this feel for Jurickson Profar? 413 feet away.
He did tattoo it.
By the way, Rusty, I don't know if you made the same joke that I did and probably everyone made. He had an earlier ball to the warning track, and we were all thinking it, right? If he was on those drugs right now, that ball might have been gone. He made up for it, though. He hit one out later. Scored two runs in the game.
It's amazing what a little bit of natural Wheaties will do for you.
Now, I do want to remind you, like, Verdugo also came in red hot, and everyone was like, probably could start the All-Star game after 10 games. And so we're going to give it some time to see what Jurickson Profar will do over the course. But it was a good debut for him last night, and Brian Snicker said he had something to line up, as you could see.
Yeah, that's what we said. And, you know, I caught the – teed it up for him that first at-bat with the bases loaded. And but, yeah, that was good. You know, started a big inning and – finished off. So, you know, I thought his bats were pretty good. Just missed the one second time up. So, yeah, it's kind of nice to have that other switch hitter in the middle of the lineup. And, you know, you feel good when he's up there. He's going to have a good at bat and take some walks. And so, yeah, that makes the lineup a little longer.
Yeah, tough at bat that first go. Bases loaded. A lot of pressure in that situation. He didn't quite come through. But no one else did in that part of the order, to be fair. And then, again, 2-for-4, a home run, even though it was a solo shot and the game was out of reach, I think you'll certainly take that.
Do you think, Bo, same question here, do you think he had to address the team when he got back?
I think he addressed them.
Did he have opportunity?
Game one in San Diego, yeah.
No, he You think he was out there to say, look, I'm out? I'm
well,
leaving?
He was with – he played four games.
Yeah, but
– I think he addressed the team then.
Okay.
You got to remember, they are aware of all of these charges. They have a chance to appeal and all that. The whole process is done before it gets public. So they had already gone through if they were going to appeal, not appeal. They had been notified at that point. So, yeah. Some good and some bad as well. Ronald Acuña Jr. voted as a starting outfielder in the All-Star game. For a while, obviously he got a late start to the season. For a while, he was seventh in the voting. Started to make his push as he got hot. He's cooled off a little bit right now. This game being in Atlanta.
Who else makes it? Olson?
No.
Who else is going to make it?
No. Snitker.
We got somebody else.
There is a player and coaches get to vote too. I don't know exactly how all that works. Coaches,
no,
I think, just pick the pitchers.
None of them.
Matt Olson's not going to make it. He's had a good 3-4 weeks here at the end.
No.
Damn.
You could see that happen. It wouldn't surprise me.
I get it, but like vote. He's also in a tough position. He's a primo position there at first base. The other thing is just like Sale.
We gotta have more than. Are you kidding me?
This leads us to the other thing. Sale misses out because he gets hurt.
Gone too.
Swelly.
Sale misses out because he gets hurt, and we start thinking, all right, if you're not going to take Sale, then Schwelly makes an obvious.
Yes.
Now he's hurt too, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But some final quick thoughts on Acuña. I think it's great that he's an all-star starter. I think not just for him, but the fact that it's in Atlanta, like respect to Braves country. I'm sure they weren't the only ones voting for Acuña. It means a lot that he's a starter though in Atlanta. Also going to take part in the Home Run Derby. There's a chance for this to be Acuña's all-star game, all-star weekend.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to that. All right, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Schwellenbach's injury, and then we'll hit the tailgate. There's a lot to get to with the Georgia Bulldogs. It's Rusty Manziel. He's going to catch us up on 3 weeks of Georgia football. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro. The Steakhouse rolls on a Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll go back into the Steakhouse, 92.9 The Game. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro here alongside Rusty Manziel. Hey, there's big news inside our company, Odyssey. Don't forget, you can find Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as always, on the Odyssey app. But you can also find it now on the iHeartRadio app or the TuneIn app. So it's free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that was pretty cool to read about that development earlier in the week. Tough development yesterday, not fun to read about, was Spencer Schwellenbach going on the 15-day IL, the 4 weeks, maybe more.
Did you see how they released that in that press release?
Yeah.
In the third paragraph?
It's yeah.
They kind of buried that.
Kind of?
Yeah.
You think?
I mean.
Do they expect people to just like too long didn't read and then we miss it? Like, no.
I was like, because I saw the immediate reaction on Twitter about Swelly. I'm like, wait a minute. I hadn't seen anything. So I see the long release and I'm reading. I'm like, what are they talking about? Then I'm like, oh, jeez.
Third paragraph and the second half of that paragraph, sentence, whatever. Couple things concern me about this more than just like obviously not having him for a month, maybe more. He said there's possibility that his increase in velocity, which has been a large reason he's been as good as he has been recently, could have been the cause of the fracture. And if that's the case, I have some real concern.
Yeah.
Because he was fine, like sitting 95, 96. When he's sitting 97, 98, he was obviously better, as you expect most pitchers to be. I don't know how you're going to have confidence to throw 97, 98.
Mentally.
But it's not a muscle you can train. It's bone. And it either breaks or it doesn't. Now,
torque.
We don't have the specifics of the injury. I would not be surprised if we see the word avulsion, fracture, when it gets released. I've had avulsion fractures. What it is just a small piece of bone essentially chips off.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was non-contact. It was just a pure force injury. Similar, potentially, I don't know, again, potentially similar. And so he talked about, I don't know if my elbow was ready to be ramped up like that. And my mind is like, I don't know if you can ramp up bone. You can ramp up muscles. You can ramp up ligaments and tendons and stretching and strengthening. I don't know if you can ramp up
bones. No, you're not ramping up bone.
And so I'm a little concerned about How if I were Schwelly, I wouldn't be throwing 97, 98. I don't know how you do that with confidence.
Who is our weekend rotation?
Grant Holmes, Spencer Strider. How many more innings you got left in you?
God, I mean, it's
definitely Grant Holmes and Spencer Strider. It probably flipped
the order. Grant Holmes has pitched well.
Yeah,
I mean, Grant Holmes has pitched well.
And Strider has pitched well.
Gotten better.
It's frustrating that he's not able to get deeper into games. I just don't think he's that kind of pitcher on most nights. I think on a given day when he's just got everything working, he could probably get you into the seventh, eighth, ninth. I think on most nights, he's probably good for six, maybe six and change, and I think you'll accept that. If he's going to give me six and less, two or less runs, like, I'm taking that all the time, and he's been pretty much there. But, yeah, right now it's Grant Holmes and Spencer Strider.
It's Elder tomorrow. Grant Holmes would be, if you do math,
well,
he would
pitch
on Sunday. Don't be surprised if you see a Hurston Waldrop or Jackson Stevens starting on Sunday.
I would give Stevens a run right now. I think he's been very good in the minors. And again, it's been very successful. We've seen Ronaldo Lopez do it. We've seen Grant Holmes now do it. The reliever who's got multi-inning stuff. Well, he wasn't a reliever, though.
But he came up, yeah.
Right, but the reliever who's been given multi-inning stuff to then stretch out to a starter has worked with Ronaldo Lopez and Grant Holmes, and Jackson Stevens might be the next guy.
Daysbell Hernandez ever be a starter, maybe?
He walks too many guys right now.
He could be an opener.
I swear I've heard this, and I still, every time I see him, I think Strider's a closer.
We'll find out. We'll find out.
When?
Within the next 2 years. I think he's coming off of some serious injuries. I think you have to give him back. You got to remember, this is a guy that entered last year before the injury as the prohibitive Cy Young favorite.
Yeah.
Like, we're not that far away from him being like, hey, this might be the best pitcher in baseball. And I get that Paul Skenes and Mizorowski and Chase Burns and Garrett Crochet and Tariq Skubal and all these guys have popped up out of nowhere right since then. We're like 18 months away from Spencer Strider being probably considered the best pitcher in baseball. So, yeah, I think you're going to give it a little bit of time to see if he can get anywhere close to that before you start making career adjustments.
Yep.
That's just me. I also think the sheer value of a productive starter, even if he's a two or a three compared to a closer, you have to take your chances with him as a starter first, and I think he's been doing just fine. Anyways, we'll talk Braves a little bit more in the final hour. I have you here, Rusty, and you mentioned it. You haven't been here for a couple of weeks. Mm. We got to talk about what's going on there up in Athens. We do so in the tailgate. You know, there was some other news going around in college football, and it can wait. It can wait for another day. I really just want to sit here and talk Georgia Bulldogs with you. And you kind of mentioned it in our opening segment, or maybe it was the start of last segment, whatever. Like, you said you've been covering recruiting from a different angle than me since the 80s. You know me. I'm a psycho. I follow recruiting. I don't cover it, but I follow it. And I've been following it since probably the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything like it. And I likened it yesterday, like when we finally get to whatever Georgia's 2026 class is going to be. You remember in high school where, like, you didn't understand that you could have higher than a 4.0? And then, like, you figured out what an AP class was. It was like, people can get high.
I didn't.
But in theory, it existed. You knew that.
I didn't know that you went higher than 4.0 in high school. No.
So
it never crossed my mind to worry about that.
But I'm sitting here, and I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever seen the average recruit for a recruiting class be higher than a 4-star.
Mm.
And it just because you've got Jared Curtis's 5-star, and they'll probably sneak in one or two more 5-stars before we're done with this thing. It feels like everything right now is 4-star. And look, if I had to guess in terms of recruiting, like Army in the 50s maybe had a run like this. Like Notre Dame in the 80s maybe had a run like this. But
the Miami 01 team.
Well, but they developed into that. I don't remember directly if the recruiting trail itself was like this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy.
It's a different calendar now, and there's a lot of different variables
involved.
Well,
and it's covered differently. So much more knowledge about all the
Camps, combines.
I've never seen a run like this, especially not in this, 10-day, 12-day timeline.
Mm.
They packaged like 8 4-stars in 12 days, whatever the number is. It's crazy.
Justice Fitzpatrick, he committed on 6-3 and kind of jump-started the thing. One of the biggest wins was Akini Aboka, the tackle from North Carolina, 6'6", 310 pounds. He committed on the 18th. They got P.J. Dean on the 30th. They flipped Caden Harris from Vanderbilt. Let me tell you something. That's the number two player in the state of Tennessee they flipped.
It's good okay. football state.
Good state. Kamari Brooks was a big battle, outside edge linebacker from North
So that's kind of where it felt like it started in terms of like day
I
after
saw
day.
This
in terms
dude,
of day after
yeah,
day.
Yeah, it started. Yeah. Kamari Brooks basically started on the 23rd. You think about that. They got Jay Lamar running back out of Moultrie on 625. They got Chase Calicut. I got a chance to see this kid last week in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I heard.
6'3 corner. Whew.
It's a big fella.
That's a big dude now. Big dude. And I'll tell you, he came out and said it publicly. Publicly said this. He turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars from Texas to go to Georgia because he said,
right,
I trust the development of Kirby Smart and T-Rob and Dante Williams.
So that was the argument I made last week with Andy Bunker. It's just like, and this leads me to what I want to ask you about Kirby, because we were told at under no important timelines that transfer portal would be some sort of an equalizer and NIL would be an equalizer and this house sentiment will be an equalizer and all that. And Kirby just keeps winning at every step. And I said, the difference is because for me, if I look at the NIL deals and the money, that's a short term, small time decision compared to first round draft pick money.
It is,
and specifically,
but there's only 32 first rounders.
I know.
So,
but it's also about that second contract more so than that.
Yeah, but you're also a high school kid now. If you're a four star offensive lineman, and you have real offers. You're a four, not a tackle. Let's just say you're an interior guy.
Okay.
You're looking at probably a $300,000 a year deal for 4 years. That's 1.2.
Yeah.
So it's a $1 million decision for some of these kids. Now, do you want to take 130 and hope that you're going to be a first rounder, go to develop? Some kids are making those decisions.
And if you're making those decisions, it's tough not to point to Kirby and to Georgia as being
that's their sale.
That's the one.
That's their sale.
Right.
And no question.
To me, that's the biggest differentiator between Kirby Smart and the other coaches on this recruiting trail. Is he more than anyone else can say, I can get you to the league?
Right now he can.
Correct.
Right now he can. Okay.
What we're talking about right now.
Well, I know, but you know, you look at next year, they don't have a projected first rounder on their team. The last 3 or 4 years, they've had guys that were projecting. Now, can Zachariah Branch play himself into that? You know.
But here's the thing. You said they don't have a projected first rounder.
Yeah, they had three last year, and all
three
of them
went first round. If you had to bet right now, just yay or nay, one.
Next year?
Because I would still say they find a way.
I said one. Somebody.
That's my point.
Miller, Zachariah Brown.
Christian Miller's
but
the one.
But we're sitting here last year. Yeah. We knew Michael Williams was going to first round. We knew Malachi Starks was going to first round.
Right.
We didn't know Jalen Walker was going to first round.
Right.
He brought himself into it.
Yeah. And here's the other question I have for you, and this is kind of – I could see it connecting, and maybe I don't, and that's why I want your expertise here, Rusty. How much do these recruiting wins, like ramping up the 2026 class and now even 2027, how do they affect the team right now? Is there a mindset that is aided by winning the recruiting? Like,
no, talking about the current team? No.
Yeah, so it doesn't affect them
at all, because September.
No,
because they've all been through it, and they're like, okay, kid, yeah, they're driving you around on a golf cart right now, and you got some pretty girls talking to you, and Kirby's being nice. When your ass gets here, he's going to be on that mic.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it's on. So the current kid, now I will say this now. The current kids, they do have to host these players.
Right.
So they're vested there. And if you go back and look, you take two kids from Georgia right now, Chris Cole and Justin Williams, two of the best linebackers in America who happen to be behind two really good players right now, Redden Wilson, C.J. Allen. If you go back and look at the pictures of all the top recruits and the linebacker position, those two kids were trying to help recruit others to join Georgia, spending time on their off weekends. So, yeah, they're vested a little bit.
Here's how I think it helps a little bit, and this is probably the wrong mindset, but we are talking about 18-year-olds, so it might be there. I think there's a little bit of we know who now is coming in behind us, and we better darn sure make it so Kirby knows I've locked down this position.
Yeah, they will recruit over you.
I think that's to me how it helps is these guys are like, man, I better be all in on this season because if not, there's a guy coming in behind me that could take my job. I need to make it so Kirby can't take me.
There are freshman wide receivers and freshman tight end that got to Georgia in January. They have ramped those rooms up.
I've seen they might have some more tight ends.
C.J. Wyland.
They might have some more tight ends.
Elias Williams, Ethan Barber. Yeah.
Is Texas truly Georgia's biggest threat in the SEC? Who is?
Alabama. They're 1-9 against them.
Okay.
Last 10 games.
I'm listening.
Until they beat Alabama, that's their threat.
I don't say that Alabama's not a threat. I'm saying I have a lot of questions. No, I got questions about Arch Manning, too. I got questions about Ty Simpson, if he, in fact, is going to win that job.
Plain and simple, Kirby Smart has done it all. He's 1-6 against Alabama. Until he beats Alabama a couple of times.
Sure.
A couple of times. That's their threat.
Who's the biggest threat outside the SEC? Buckeyes?
Always Ohio State to me.
Are we just stuck there?
I would say Ohio State because they're built like
an SEC
team.
They're built
up front.
And they've got question marks at quarterback, too.
I saw Jeremiah Smith last weekend.
Well,
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's a problem for
everybody.
Cornerbacks in the league.
Jeremiah Smith, if he didn't play another snap, he'd still be in the top two picks.
Yeah.
Top two.
Yeah.
Unless as a quarterback.
No.
I'm going to tell you this. He drove up in the baddest black Lamborghini that I've ever seen. Flat black. I mean, and I'm not really like a car guy like that. That damn thing right there was super nice.
One more question. I was reading a list this morning on ESPN. It's list season. This is what they do.
Oh, yeah.
They had a sleeper player for each top 25 team. Georgia, obviously, among the top 25. What can you tell me about their choice, running back Bo Walker?
He had a really good spring, and I've said this many times. He was, as a junior at Cedar Grove, played on the state championship team, had a great year, was highly recruited. His quarterback is – offensive coordinator took the job at Stockbridge. He tried to follow him to Stockbridge. He got ruled ineligible at Georgia High School. He appealed it. He got ruled ineligible again. So he missed like four games last year. Luckily, he was able to get up to Raven Gap up in the mountains and play in that North Carolina League where he got to play five or six games. So he kind of got lost in the shuffle. He came to Georgia ready to go. And immediately in January, he was ready to go. He had a great spring.
And they haven't really just got a stranglehold on that running back room yet.
Yeah,
it's going to be someone. Someone's got to grab that job.
It's Nate Frazier.
Correct.
And then you take the transfer from Illinois.
Yeah.
And then you got Bo Walker. Roger Robinson stayed. Branson Robinson left.
Right.
You like Dwight Phillips. They got some guys, but who is going to step up and be – obviously, all signs point to Nate Frazier.
Sure.
He's got to stay healthy right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, when we come back, as we mentioned, Rusty has been away for a couple weeks. He hadn't talked about the Hawks moves. We're going to talk about that.
Finally, some good news.
We're going to talk about that and maybe a little bit of the reaction to it as well. I've been a little bit disappointed in fans. Some fans, not all. We'll talk about that as hour number two on the Steakhouse. Coming your way, Dave Gordon in for Steak Shapiro. Rusty Mansell on a July 3rd edition heading into the July 4th weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. AutoTrader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the Steakhouse. Abe Gordon in for Steak Shapiro as we wrap up a holiday weekend alongside Rusty Mansell today. And we caught back up.
How old were you, Bo, when you realized this wasn't about a Corvette?
I was probably in like high school.
I thought those horses were about something like we were really riding horses there for a little while. Oh, man.
I listen to a lot of songs without actually listening to the song, right?
Or just being too young to realize what they were talking about.
There's definitely some of that, but like half the time I just will like sing a song without a second thought as to what the lyrics are or try to find any meaning. And then when you like read the lyrics, you're like,
I really thought that was like this red T-top Corvette. You know what I mean? Like this badass song.
Dude, and I never had anybody to explain music to me.
Yeah.
So we're in a perfect example of this, and I just crack up every time this happens. So we're at the last softball gathering that we have, and the kids have control of the speaker,
and they're running one
of their playlists, Watermelon Sugar comes on by Harry Styles.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah,
y'all
that's one of them.
Any idea?
That's one of them. That's
this
one of
song
them.
Is not about watermelon.
Well, it's about sugar, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You say that.
A sugary drink, flavored watermelon. There you go. Yep. We caught back up on Georgia a little bit, and there's obviously so much going on. Almost equally as much turnover has been with the Atlanta Hawks. It has been a wild ride for the last, last 10 days, 12 days, whatever it is. I want to go back step by step and get your thoughts, because, Rusty, I know you like the Atlanta Hawks. I think a lot of people here are fans.
Yep.
We haven't really had a ton of reason to cheer
over the course
of a number of years. From a variety of perspectives. There's obviously been what's happened on court, and we're in the play-in round again. Guys are getting hurt and this or that. There also has been – and look, I really enjoyed the time with Landry Fields. But there was also like, hey, man, we don't really trust this guy to do what needs to be done here in Atlanta. We don't know a ton about Ansi Saleh, right? He takes over, and he finally starts to put his stamp on this team. I think it was
he did.
I think it was last Wednesday, maybe it was Tuesday, whatever it was. Now we'll go step by step, but now let's start with Ansi Saleh. Separate of the moves, we'll talk about the moves.
Okay.
But right now, today, there's just that feeling that there's a GM who knows what he's doing, can make the moves that needs to be made, can take advantage of teams when they're in bad situations. And separate of the moves, there's a belief now, I think, from me and probably from a lot that, like, hey, we've got the GM now in Ansi Saleh that can bring bigger and better things to the city.
Well, you're sitting here on July the 3rd, and you think about if you're a Hawks fan, like, we've got a chance.
When was the last time we ever talked Hawks basketball in July? Like, even last year when you drafted Reza Shea, you're the number one pick, like, that was a June thing. We weren't talking Hawks in July last year.
The Trey was getting snubbed on the Team USA or getting back in was the only mention of basketball in July.
That's a negative, dude. That's a negative July topic.
We're talking about basketball in
July. When don't we talk positive July topics?
It's been a while. It's been a while, man. And, you know, I'm an old school Hawks fan and grew up watching them and Dominique and going through all that in the 90s and then a couple years ago, the run they made. We need that. This is a basketball town.
Yeah.
And this is a organization that I am proud to say made me as a I will say this truthfully. I am on the fence fan. If things are rolling, I'm in. If they're not, I can't give my energy to the Hawks.
This whole bandwagon fan thing, I've lived in a lot of cities. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
There are very few sports teams that hold their fans when they're just not good. This is everywhere. In college teams do it a little bit less, but it's everywhere. Like I went to Indiana, IU.
Maybe the best I think I've ever been around, and they have sucked so long as Cleveland Browns, and their fans continue to.
So and I lived in Cleveland. I was going to bring like that's the one example for me where like they just don't leave their team. But like I went to Indiana, there were not that many IU basketball fans when I was there. It was Mike Davis. They were losing 20 games a year. It was irrelevant. People didn't care. The building wasn't full. That's not the case. And right now, if the Hawks can get going.
Let me tell you something. The Hawks get going, and they got a great.
I think about some of the great atmospheres in the NBA history. Remember when Utah was cooking with Deron Williams?
Oh, yeah.
And those guys?
Oh, yeah.
You look at Indiana this past year. Indiana will bail on that. Indiana's fans will bail on that team next year with no Haliburton, no Miles Turner.
Abe, I have sat in the Omni when I was 15 years old and watched the Hawks play the second round, game 7 against the Pistons and the Bad Boys. Like, I've been around that long.
There have been times where the Atlanta Hawks audience has been cooking.
Yes.
And it feels like we're headed towards
this. Let me tell you what. You take the Michael Vick and you take the Braves and you take everything they've done. If the Hawks
get
rolling, they will be just as electric.
Yeah.
Just as electric.
No doubt. So let's go back through some of these moves and just kind of recap your mindset when it happened. Obviously, the first one was the Kristaps Porzingis move. You move on from a couple of rotational players. Mm-hmm. And you bring in Porzingis. The Celtics are trying to offload, right? They're trying to get rid of shed salary. You take advantage of that.
Did they cut bait with people? The question here is, he's a no-brainer if he's healthy.
Yeah.
It's the if.
Do you think people, myself included, maybe forgot just how good he can be and is he's healthy?
And I hate to use that word. I know y'all used it. I know Randy and Andy kind of mess around with word. I don't want to say it.
We have one of those on the football team.
Okay.
And he's kind of a plain Jane.
But I think this guy's wired different. I think this guy's just healthy. The health issues. But there's only – that guy's a one percentile human that can do what he does. Like, if he's healthy, it's hard to deal with somebody that big and that athletic.
And he's a great shooter.
Can play. And I tell people, until I cover football, I've covered professional sports. Until you go watch an NBA game up close, you don't understand how athletic and how rare those humans are.
Look, a lot of top level elite athletes are freaks. I think there's a group of football players that are just freaks.
You have a couple, the Derrick Henrys and guys like that.
And Miles Garrett. There are freaks out there. I think man for man, the basketball freak is because you have to work the technical skill into your freakiness. In football, you can just be a physical freak and you could probably get away with it, right?
Yep.
In basketball, there are a ton of 6'10", 7-foot guys that aren't in the NBA. You can't just be a physical freak. You have to work at that craft and be a technical freak, too. And Porzingis is one of those dudes.
Yeah, man. He's healthy. I'm the no-brainer for the Hawks.
So we're cooking. We're rolling. We've said we're adding Porzingis to this team alongside Trae Young. That's probably going to send a Kongwu to the bench. We've just got deeper now on the bench. What's next? And it's draft night.
Yep.
And draft night comes in two waves. We'll start with Ason Newell. This is a guy a lot of people probably would have been happy at 13 with.
Yeah.
We'll get to the trade and the fleecing in a little bit. But the fact that you can bring in Ason Newell at 23, a guy from Georgia, a lot of people wanted him at 13. You got him 10 spots later. Not sure how impactful he'll be this year, but it's a fun piece to have.
He is very good around the rim. He is a
great – both sides, offense and defense.
He's a rim protector. He's a great rebounder. At times, he is a really streaky shooter.
So that's what I was going to say, and I mentioned
really
this –
really streaky shooter.
I'm trying to remember if I was with Andy or Randy that day. He comes in with a base of 30% three-point shooter.
Yep.
If he can get that to 34, 35% at his size –
yep.
Now we're talking about a next-level score.
You're talking about a 19-year-old kid.
Right.
So he's got a ton of ceiling left in him.
Correct.
Wired right. Everybody at Georgia talks about how good a kid he is off the field, off the court. I'll say this, too, about him. I love it when they would do the high pick and roll with him, and when he decided to go to the basket, he was great. I don't know all the schematics of what they were trying to do with him at Georgia, but when he put the ball and went to the hole, and as big as he is, I think that's the next part of his game, too.
The other thing I mentioned is because of Silas Demery at Georgia, I think he's used to being a guy that doesn't necessarily demand the ball every possession, which is probably a good thing when you come into the NBA. There's only be one or two guys. And so I think he can work within an offense in a ball-dominant guard like Trey.
Yep.
Then you go to the second part of that draft where you just absolutely fleece the New Orleans Pelicans. You move back 10 spots. we don't know what this pick could be yet next year, to essentially get a player you probably take at 13 anyways.
Let me tell you something. That has some potential to be another franchise type player.
It could be a top five pick. It could be a top three pick. Yes. It could be the number one pick overall. Milwaukee looks like they've, at least for now, as long as they still have Giannis, settled into where they're probably not going to be in the lottery.
So everybody thinks the kid is going to BYU, right? Should be the number one.
AJ DeBanza. Yeah. There's a couple guys. Yeah. There's a couple guys. One of the Boozer twins is going to be a top five pick, and there's some other guys there. But you just have, I mentioned it's a fire roll offense from New Orleans. Like, it's just
what the hell
the value
thinking?
There is crazy.
What in the hell?
I don't know
thinking?
If he got twisted. It was opposite day. It has to be protected, and it has to be the least favorable of two picks. He went the exact opposite, favorable and unprotected. It's a fire roll offense. There were rumors talking about it, right? All right, you got this trade exemption. You have a mid-level exemption, and you're. You didn't feel like you're done. You've got money. And now you trade in the span of an hour the other night. You trade for Nickeil Alexander-Walker. You buy for $11 million Luke Kennard. And it's like you've got a nine-man rotation. Upgrades defensively all over the place. Trey's got some more legitimate shooters around him. The East is weak. Because of injuries to Halliburton, injuries to Dame, injuries to Tatum.
Yes.
You're not the only one trying to take advantage. Detroit has made some very good moves. I think Orlando has made some very good moves. Cleveland is kind of sitting still, although I know they traded for Lonzo Ball. You add Alexander Walker and Kennard, and there's a lot of people saying, like, hey, this is the top three team in the East, maybe the best.
Can you imagine how good Trae Young's feeling right now in the offseason?
I said he's going 20-15 next year.
Yeah.
Like, he might have 20 points, 15 assists. Average.
I tell you, he has got to be excited for the first time. Privately excited. Like, he can honestly
I think he's
go,
publicly excited.
I know, but like
you know what I mean?
But he's sitting around like last offseason going, what, damn, man, and we got this kid we don't know much about. Of all years, you know, what are we going to do? Now he's like, damn, we got some pieces in here, man.
It's just
it ramps
health.
You up, man.
It does. But there is that concern.
Yeah,
because Porzingis has yet to stay healthy for a while. Jalen Johnson, I still think, is a top 25 player in the league.
Love him.
On his ceiling and his development, if he can stay healthy.
Dyson Daniels. I mean, they've got
what's peace. Dyson, 21 years old?
Yeah.
Like, people forget that.
This team's young.
He developed a lot offensively last year, too, by the way.
Dude, I couldn't
Congos?
I could not even imagine an Eastern Conference Finals here.
A second one. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't even remember the last one. But, like, now, I mean, I do, but.
Yeah.
Like. This city needs.
But the last one almost felt like a fluke season, and things kind of fell apart, and you just you made the run, you upset a couple of teams. This year, I don't think it would feel like a fluke to get to the finals, and that's the difference. I guess maybe a fluke because the Eastern Conference is down to some extent. But.
I watched the finals the other night, the last game, and I thought, man, the Hawks have been playing. They've been off so long. I can't even remember their last game.
Yeah.
They were done in 4th May, right?
They lost the play-in game.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, when was the last time, and I know people are optimistic about the Falcons, and they should be.
Yes.
I don't remember the last time the Hawks have been like on a level playing field of optimism as the other teams.
Yeah. Especially
and they're either
it's
there
lined up.
Or
it's
a
lined
buff,
up now.
Or
I'm telling you, it's lined up for them.
Yeah, it's been
especially
a big offseason.
Eastern Conference.
Exactly. Been a big offseason for the Hawks. And now we just play the waiting game. By the way, I was talking about this the other day. Like, I'm going to be dialed in for summer league. Like, I'm amped up.
So I saw.
I want to see Asa Newell. Asa Newell told me he's going to be playing summer ball.
So Cooper Flagg is playing.
He should not play in summer league.
He's going to.
Should play in the Olympics is what he should be doing. Yeah. All right, when we come back, we'll have Rusty Rocks for you. A little bit of belly up. One or two quick stories before we get to the music of choice of one Rusty Manziel. That's coming your way. It's the Steakhouse Abe in for steak alongside Rusty on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. Thursday edition of the Steakhouse. Abe in for Steak Shapiro alongside Rusty Manziel. Steak will be back with you on Monday. Going to be alongside Drew Butler there, and they'll get to a big holiday weekend.
My man,
what do you got going on? What do you got going on July
14th? Well, I'm going to Florida on Sunday, so for vacation next week, laying low a little bit. Going down to the lake. One of my buddies has a lake place in Alabama. Tomorrow we will go up. We will go to a place called Yellow Creek. It is crystal clear water. Everybody pulls their boats up in there. It's about 5 feet deep.
Water. Why do they call it yellow if the water's clear?
I don't know.
Okay.
But it's clear and it's cold. So go back there, play a little tune. I'll be in charge of the music. We'll hang out. It's supposed to be a beautiful day.
We're going to hear a little bit of your music choice in a couple moments when get to Rusty Rocks. Before we do, though, a couple quick stories. It's time to belly up. Just kind of gauging your general interest here, Rusty. Joey Chestnut is back in the fold here. Nathan's hot dog eating contest, noon tomorrow. They got the women's contest, and then the gents will go there at Coney Island. Are you in, out on the hot dog? Is it disgusting to you?
You know what I don't like? I don't like you dipping it in water. Eat the damn – be a man. Eat the damn thing.
So, yeah.
Just eat it. Don't have to dip it. Let's see what you can do.
Scientifically,
yeah, I don't
– not, you know
– I mean, yeah.
Slower.
Okay, we're going to take away steroids in baseball. Let's take away water and hot dog. Let's see how many you can knock down.
I love how that's the
– you know what I mean?
Performance enhancing.
Dan, why you want to soften it up? Let's see you eat some carbs. Let's see you eat some –
well, they're eating it.
Yeah, well.
That is not a hot dog. No. They're not eating a hot dog.
You don't go to the gas station and get you a gallon of water and dip it in. No, you eat the damn thing. Let's see how many of these – I'm imagining – let's see how many of these dudes can knock down. Because it's disgusting to see you sitting there dipping it in water.
Yeah.
I want to see you eat 40 like a man.
And then while they're all, like, all the water's just falling out of their mouth.
And the buns are just
a horrible thing to watch.
And some of them.
I would love to go once, though. I would love to go once.
It's hot.
Every time I think about Coney Island.
Coney Island, that crowd.
That's Jesus Shuttleworth, baby.
It's hot out there.
He got game.
Remember that New Orleans Riverwalk crawfish eating contest on the 4th of July starts?
Yeah.
I'm in it. Let's go.
Let's go, man.
We'll get to hot dogs.
Eat like a damn man.
We'll get to hot dogs. Get damn water in three strikes when we get there. Red Panda, released from the hospital overnight, diagnosed with a broken wrist. She had surgery.
It's a miracle that didn't happen before.
It has. I don't care. She has fallen. She has broken that wrist before.
Mm.
It's a re-break of I think she's had multiple surgeries on that wrist.
Did you see the look on her face when she realized she was going down? Yeah.
I was concerned more about it looked like she had a leg injury, too. I'm actually relatively relieved it's just the wrist. She needed a wheelchair to be helped off. I mean.
Hey, listen, at some point we all time out.
I don't want to be cruel, Rusty.
At some point we all time out.
It's a wrist injury. Walk it off. I don't mean walk off the injury, but like walk off the court. It's a wrist.
No, they had to add to the drama, though.
Yeah. Like, again, I'm not trying to be mean or
Rick
cruel.
Flair,
like,
Rick Flair didn't just walk out. They had to carry him out.
He got stretched out and he put her in an ambulance.
Yeah, I got an ambulance, man.
I'm pretty sure that was scripted.
No.
You're suggesting.
None of that is.
None of that, no. You watch soap operas?
No.
Did you watch Friends?
Terrible show.
It's scripted.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. They're acting. You saying she was acting?
Yeah.
F1 came out last week. Jurassic World Rebirth comes out yesterday/this weekend. I went to it, saw it yesterday. Superman comes out next.
Who's doing Superman now?
David Cornsweet.
Yeah, not overly familiar.
Is he from Cartersville?
Probably. directed by James Gunn, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we're going to talk about summer blockbusters here in just a moment. But we are now heavily into the summer blockbuster run. You got Fantastic Four coming out later this month. It's a couple of things in August. F1 last week, Jurassic World this week, Superman next week. It's your 3-week run of what should be summer blockbusters.
Yeah, and I think you kind of credit Top Gun 2 for getting people back into the summer blockbusters a couple years ago. I had to go at 11 o'clock at night. It was sold out on like a Friday night. So I mean,
Barbie and Oppenheimer kind of helped out, and then Maverick came along. Yeah, it's.
I'm all about the summer blockbuster. I grew up on that. Matter of fact, 40 years ago today, I just mentioned to Bo off the air, 40 years ago today, Back to the Future. What's ironic about that is I hadn't watched that movie in a long time, didn't have any clue it was 40 years. I watched it on the plane on the way because I was looking for I had an hour and 20-minute flight. I was like, let me find something close. Back to the Future was like an hour and 29 minutes, so I watched it last week coming back.
All right, enough about movies. We'll reset some of these in three strikes. We're heading towards July 4th. Should be a fun weekend. Need to know what's on the playlist. Time for Rusty Rocks.
Little delay there. It's been a minute. It's been a minute, man. You got to dig down in the catalog to find the Rusty Rocks, man. I had a couple ways to go with it. You know, what am I going to do? Obviously, man, it's 4th of July. You got to be somewhere on the lake. You got to be at the beach. You got to be at the pool. You got to be in the backyard on the grill. Got to have some American theme music. I'm going to give you 5 songs I think I like. I'll probably listen to all 5 at some point tomorrow. One of them may not make sense. I don't really care. To me, it's like a Midwestern, strong, American kind of music. Number 5 for me goes back to 1982, Little Jack and Diane. Can't go wrong with that, man. That's a head bobber. Like, everybody gets their head going with that.
There's a difference between, like, patriotic songs, which I don't really deem this one. Yeah. This is pure Americana.
That's what I'm
though.
Saying, yeah.
It is pure Americana.
100%. 100%. Number 4, great song. 1976 in a couple of movies. Obviously, I guess everybody remembers a particular scene in Silence of the Lambs. But it's American Girl. Tom Petty. Don't get in the van, girl. She got in the van. Number 3 comes to one of my favorite all-time movies, one of the great scenes. I don't care. I'll watch this movie in commercials. I will always watch this scene. My girls love this scene. They've all seen it. As a dad, I've made a particular note. You got to watch James Brown, Living in America, baby. Unfortunately, this was the end of Apollo, but he damn sure came out and put on a show before we found out that we kind of found out that Drago didn't eat hot dogs and water. He was hot dogging some grown man juice and put it into Apollo. But Living in America, number 3, James Brown. Number 2, got to have this one, man, some Toby Keith. Rest in peace, man. It's a great one. How many times will this play tomorrow on a lake somewhere and everybody raise that cup on this one?
It'll play at least once on everybody's playlist.
Everybody's playlist. This is a good sing-along, too, man. Everybody knows the words of this. Don't play number 1 yet. I will say this. I loved this song before you kind of put it together with the movie. But when you see the Sandlot and you see the 4th of July fireworks, always, and they're playing at night on the baseball field, and this song was the perfect song for that moment. Still one of my all-time favorites, regardless of a holiday. My man Ray Charles hits this one. America the Beautiful. Wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall when he finished recording that one, whoever was in that studio going, dude, you ain't even got to ask how much of a hit that is with him. Great scene in Sandlot. A lot of people watch that too. Great movie. But that baseball scene and that song, perfect.
That was Rusty Rocks, and tough to argue. I want to give a quick little like film version of Rusty Rocks. What are your go-to like July 4th movies? I can run down and you can just say if it's a yay or nay. Like, Jaws is obviously a huge Independence Day film.
I would imagine, like, Top Gun, Jaws.
What about just Independence Day?
I'm not a huge fan of that. Not a huge fan of that.
Welcome to Earth.
You know, I'm a summer blockbuster guy, though. I mean, I'll watch all those from the 80s.
There's a movie I record every year. It'll come on TCM. I think it's at 10 p.m. It's a musical.
What is it?
1776.
Okay.
I love the musical 1776. It'll be on TCM at some point. So I've already set the DVR.
What about The Patriot?
You know, Mel Gibson's kind of some thoughts and feelings on him. It's a good movie, though.
Yep.
I enjoy it. Bo, you look like you wanted to add something here.
So I used to throw some pretty good 4th of July parties when I was in management with Outback because I could just take the day off.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So I had a pool, invite everybody over. I throw down on the grill in my KV man room, media room, whatever you want to call it. I would have Independence Day on loop.
That's
where
right.
at any point right. during the day, you could just go in and watch it.
I should like it. It's okay for me. It's okay.
I just think, like, TBS did that Christmas story crap on Christmas, right, where they just run 24 hours.
Yep.
And I just don't understand why that doesn't happen more. Like, round one of the NFL draft, TNT should just be running draft day for 24 hours.
I love draft day.
And, like, True TV can just run Independence Day, and TBS can run Jaws. Like, that should be a bigger thing where just – a movie gets run.
I agree.
Christmas Vacation.
You can tune in at any time.
So yeah. we have a
find a Thanksgiving movie and just run it. Like, that should be more than just a Christmas story.
I agree on holidays.
So this has been my TED Talk. Thank you for coming.
On Thanksgiving night, we watch Christmas Vacation every year.
Yeah, you get the whole.
You have to.
Turn the page.
If
right?
the Egg Bowl is not on, we're Christmas Vacation and we start into.
Yeah, you turn the page.
Turn the page.
All right, when we come back, we got the John Foyd game of the night, 3 strikes as well, plus another quick chat about the Atlanta Braves and what's been going on there. One segment left here on a Thursday edition with Rusty Manziel. It's the Steakhouse, Abe In for Steak on Sports Radio 92.9. The game on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app, the TuneIn app, but you should probably use the Odyssey app. Now, this is
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit AutoTrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Whole different list, Rusty, of patriotic songs for July 4th. You know, God bless the USA, born in the USA. And Real American, baby.
Real American, baby.
It's up there. I made an argument for it pre-show. I was like, come on, man. And they're like, I'm not going for that style.
I can't
we know what's
it.
Going on. There's also America Blank, which we can't really play on the radio, but personal playlist, it might get some run. John Foy, big game of the night, presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys get the strong arm. A 3-run homer last night, a grand slam last night. Jurickson Profar, he didn't do those, but in his debut, hits a solo home run last night. And Bryce Elder to the mound tonight, 7:15, the L.A. Angels at the Atlanta Braves against Jose Soriano. Sounds like he should be good, but hopefully not. That's our big game of the night with a little tip of the cap to the Atlanta Dream hosting the Seattle Storm. Atlanta Dream are – I know we talk about the Hawks and we talk about the fact – the Atlanta Dream legitimately can make a run at a title this year.
Yeah.
We got to see what's going on with the Ryan Howard injury, but they're a pretty good squad as well. Big game of the weekend – if I want to call it that, also sponsored by John Foy and Associates. Could be the hot dog eating contest, but in reality, personally, it's the Peachtree Road Race.
Yeah, man. And I got questions. So you're in it tomorrow.
Yeah, sure am.
I need to know, okay, what is pregame? I asked you this. I ask you off the air, like pregame meal?
I'm not a big eat before I run
guy. Just a Cliff Bar or something?
Yeah, maybe a little granola bar or some sort of protein bar, Cliff Bar.
How much water today?
A lot of water today.
A lot of water.
My problem is, and I don't want to speak for any other runners out there, I get dehydrated overnight. Like, I can drink as much as I want to today. I wake up tomorrow morning, and I use the restroom, and you could see color, right?
Man.
And so I have to rehydrate in the morning. So I'll drink a lot of water today. I'll drink some electrolyte powder at some point today. In the morning, as I prepare for the race and travel too, I'll have an electrolyte drink in the morning too.
So the time you pull up, you're 30 minutes before your start. How long will it take you to warm up, like stretch?
I don't do a lot of that.
Okay.
I will probably try to do a jog somewhere just to move the legs a little bit, but I won't do like much of a warm up.
How many years have you ran this?
This is somewhere between, like, not in a row, but, like, total, somewhere between 15 and 18.
Okay, so this is a great question.
I ran it as
a
kid.
Okay,
yeah.
This is a great question for you then. What do they do right about this? What do you say?
Whoever, hydration provided.
I like
that. There are six stops of hydration, along with, like, they
and that's
pop
like just
open.
Cups or what?
Cups of water, and sometimes.
And you grab it on the run?
I have a problem with that.
Do you stop?
Yeah, I stop and walk because I'll spill it everywhere. Okay. I'm going to try and go on the run for mile one because I don't think I really need it at mile one, so I'll do a quick one.
All right.
I will walk as I'm drinking it the later in the race.
Okay.
To calm down.
All right, you're on the committee that controls this thing. What do they need to change?
Well, they changed it a little bit, which is you can't start – when it's in the summer like this, especially when you have this many people and some people are starting – 30, 40, 50 minutes after the first group starts, you can't start this run early enough, in my opinion. They moved the start time up 10 minutes. I know you're sitting there like, all right, 10 minutes. 10 minutes? Because you're not worried about the first 3 miles that are downhill. You'll feel good.
Yeah.
Your body's not working too hard. You're not overheating. The sun's not killing you. The last 3 miles, though, when you get into the heat tunnel, as the sun rays are reflecting off all these buildings here in Midtown, so 10 minutes makes a difference between running your final 3 miles at 78 degrees and 84 degrees. I mean, it really could be that impactful.
Is this a top five race in the country? Boston Marathon, Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a top 10K in the country. When you start to get to some of the other stuff, it's tough to compare. Like, it's definitely not bigger than Boston, New York, Chicago. Those are world major marathons. And then you start to get into some of the other races, especially like endurance races, the ultra marathons, Moab and stuff like that, and backyard marathons that have become popular, stuff like that. But it's up there. It's definitely one of the biggest 10K races.
If I gave you a 25-minute head start on the pro group tomorrow, could you beat them? 25-minute head start.
Let's see. They're going to come in. Honestly, 25-minute head start, it would be close.
Yeah.
It would be real. Like, that's
– that I last think, 200 yards would be crucial.
I think I – no. It's mile five that would make the difference.
Okay.
because I can run mile six. I'll be all right. I think I could beat them. I'm assuming that they're coming in at 30.
Yep.
Or 31. If they come in sub 30, they're probably... I should safely run this in 55, though. Like...
Yeah, okay.
I think I could beat them with a 25-minute head start. But if it was 20, they're catching me.
Yeah.
Like, that extra 5 minutes is making the difference here.
Well, good luck tomorrow, man. I'll wake up in the morning, and I'll be icing my cooler down, watching the news, watching the crowd.
I'm hoping to be done by the time you wake up.
No, you won't. I'm a 6:30.
You're an early riser?
Oh, yeah.
I won't have started by then.
He won't even start.
Sleep in. Sleep in just a little bit so I can be done by the time you wake up.
If I told myself I was going to sleep till 7:30 tomorrow morning, I'd be pumped.
Yeah. I'm hoping to be done. I'd safely say I'll be done by 8.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be done a couple minutes before that, assuming we start on time and all that stuff. Three strikes coming your way here. Now's your opportunity to call in on the following three questions, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. A couple things we've already talked about today. How many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting? And we're going back to Rusty rules. No dipping it in the water.
No,
you got
no
to eat the dog and the bun
you
at the same time.
You got to eat a grown-ass man hot dog.
How many could you eat in one sitting? What's the best 4th of July side dish you make? Or prepare. What's your go-to 4th of July side dish? And also your pop-in, set it and forget it, 80s summer blockbuster. Your go-to summer blockbuster. 404-726-0929 from the 80s. I got a list of a couple options here. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But real quick, I do want to reset on the Atlanta Braves. Jurickson Profar's debut goes with a 2-for-4. He does hit a solo home run late. A little bit of letdown early from Profar. He struck out with the bases loaded.
I would imagine his nerves were pretty high.
Definitely a little bit. Sean Murphy, big 3-run home run. Couple minutes later, Matt Olson follows that one up with a grand salami. And the Braves offense looking like it was going to stay quiet. Looking like we're going to have a repeat of the night before. But they get going and... Now there's a little bit of hope that maybe you can make it a thing. Make the offense a thing now that Profar's back in there. The problem is the rotation takes a hit. Spencer Schwellenbach with the fractured elbow there. Big setback, and you feel terrible for him. He was really turning it on. In my opinion, he was headed to the All-Star game. They may still give him like a, hey, you made the All-Star team, but we know you can't pitch thing. Possibly.
Sucks, man, being in town. Can you imagine the amount of people he was like trying to bring in? Okay, I'm going to bring aunts and uncles. You guys can come. Can you imagine the tickets trying to get into that game, the request? Just sucks, man.
And
the timing sucks for the Braves, but individually, you look. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him probably.
Hopefully not. In town.
Yeah.
But you will have Ronald Acuna and a big opportunity for him to put his stamp on All-Star Weekend. He's going to be starting in the outfield in the All-Star game. Obviously, the Home Run Derby as well. Hey, is Acuna lead off the All-Star game, do you think?
Yeah, why not? Hometown? I would.
Could be.
I would.
You put Ohtani up there, and then Acuna can...
It's going to be all Mets, Dodgers, and Acuna.
Against Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
Who can get it done. Max Fried.
Paul Skeen's in this? Skeen's in.
He'll be on the team. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to start the All-Star game. But he might. He's...
Yeah, he's nasty.
That team's not good, man. And he's so good. And it's unfortunate. All right. Three strikes. 404-726-0929. Three strikes have production. I think it does, Bo. All right. We got a couple phone lines open. 404-726-0929. Rusty, let's start out in Atlanta. We've got Kareem here on three strikes. Kareem.
Abe, T.L.
What's up, brother?
My main man from Floyd County. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's up, Kareem? Good morning.
All right. How many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting?
I'm going to go with four. I can put four chili dogs down from the box.
All right. What's your best 4th of July side dish?
The ribs, my brother, the ribs.
Ooh, that's main. Sir. That's main course, baby. I love it, though.
But side dish, I'm going to give baked beans.
Yes,
not, not bad, not bad. And what's your go-to 80s summer blockbuster?
Man, in honor of my boy Rusty, you know what I mean? I'm going to go with Back to the Future. I just seen it a few weeks ago. Yeah, on a Humbug. Yes, caught it on TV.
Marty McFly. Everybody wanted to be Marty McFly,
the
man.
The Flux Capacitor.
Flux Capacitor.
There you go. Gigawatts.
Appreciate it, Kareem.
Couple other summer blockbusters just to pick and choose from. There are more than just these.
Yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark was in the 80s. Karate Kid, Ghostbusters, Goonies, Top Gun.
You know Ghostbusters.
Batman was 1989.
Batman was huge on Michael Keaton. To me, there's that Batman, and then there's the rest.
Yeah, no, I understand
Jack Nicholson, everybody.
Bree is in Fairburn. How we doing today, Bree?
Hey, you guys. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning, Bree.
How many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting?
Not going to lie, probably like 10 or 15. I love a good Nathan's hot dog.
Boy, I hear you.
Even I'm not at 15.
I hear you.
What's your best 4th of July side dish?
Pasta salad is the best thing on a hot day. Got it nice and cold in the freezer.
And your go-to 80s summer blockbuster?
Well, you actually called me out. I was going to say the Goonies is definitely my favorite. They had their 40-year anniversary last year. But other than that, probably Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, that's a good one. I saw that on the list. I didn't add it. Thank you, Bree.
Like
10 or 15.
10 or 15.
I used to eat 5 just by myself for dinner, not in a contest setting, like just 5 hot dogs.
Yeah.
So I know I'm more than 5. I don't think I'm at 15.
You got toppings on those, or is that just like
ketchup and mustard?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to get into the whole ketchup mustard argument. We're not doing that here. Danny is out in Douglas County. Danny, how many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting?
I say, first of all, let me say, go dogs.
Go dogs, Danny. Go dogs.
About 4.
All right, what's your best 4th of July side dish?
You know, the little sausage weenies and the jelly.
All right, yeah. And your go-to 80s summer blockbuster.
I say E.T.
That's a great one. Appreciate
that is
it, Danny.
Unbelievable one.
Jimmy, out in Decatur. How many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting, Jimmy?
Man, naked hot dogs are going to do about 6.
All right, what's your best 4th of July side dish?
Potato salad.
Yes, sir.
And your go-to 80s summer blockbuster?
Rambo.
Great one. Great one.
John Jay.
I got to check. I think First Blood Part 2 was in the 80s. I'm not sure First Blood was in the 80s.
Yeah, yes.
Was it 1980, maybe?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't sure.
Filmed in Vancouver.
Brad is in Peachtree City. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
How many hot dogs can you eat in one sitting?
I never tried. I'm going to say 4 or 5.
What's your best 4th of July side dish?
I'm going to go with some good coleslaw, man.
Yes, sir.
And your go-to 80s summer blockbuster?
I've got 2 of them, Rad and Gleaming the Cube.
I don't know Gleaming the Cube. I do know Rad. And I did double-check. First Blood was 82, so that's a great one. I watch that movie all the time, by the way.
Yeah, John
Jay. All the time. Tinker wraps us up in Kennesaw. What's up, Tinker?
What's up, Tink?
What's going on, fellas?
All right, how many hot dogs, Tink? I know there's a number. I know it's a double digits. How many hot dogs for you in one sitting?
Yeah, I know. I'd say a solid 7.
Oh, you got more than 7 in you. Come on. What's your best?
I think I can only do something.
What's your best 4th of July side dish?
Deviled eggs with wasabi in it.
And your go-to 80s summer blockbuster.
Even though it's the number one Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Yeah, I almost put that in the list, but I didn't want to have that argument
either. That's a summer movie?
Yeah, it came out in summer, but it's a Christmas movie.
It is Christmas.
And I'll fight everyone about that.
Yeah.
Rusty, I hope you have a great July 4th Independence Day weekend.
Be back in a couple of weeks, and good luck tomorrow, man.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to run fast and try and stay hydrated, and that's the plan. All right, coming up next, it's the Midday Show. Andy
number
and Randy.
One show in Atlanta, man.
That's right.
How about that?
That's what I've been told.
How about my boys, Randy and Andy?
That's what I've been
Man's
told.
Man's been knighted? I told
you. Oh,
him.
Yeah. Coming up next, Sir Randy McMichael alongside
Randy McMichael.
Andy Bunker. Stick around. Appreciate it, Rusty. It's been the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway.
Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.